scripture reading is from the sixth chapter of Galatians, verses 11 through 18. See what large letters I use as I write to you with mine own hand. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the word has been crucified, or the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation, peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen.
Verse 17, listen to each word. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me. Why? Because I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The brand mark of Jesus. Now, most of us understand, and I'm really disappointed, Josh and Lana, you blew it for me, but that's all right. A couple of years ago, the Chicago Cubs were in the World Series. And it turned out that all of the Cubs products on almost all the shelves in the country were swallowed up. And vendors were begging for more Cub paraphernalia. You see, the brand that you wear is sometimes very important. Now, I have to admit, I am guilty. I'm extremely guilty because I happen to know I love to wear the different brands. And so, take one out this time. Just pull them out for me. I have a daughter that goes to university, a granddaughter. Goes to the University of Missouri. And so sometimes I'm wearing her brand. There are times, because I have three grandchildren that go to LaPel, I wear proud Renahan Grandpa. And that's my brand, the brand that I wear. And I have been a Colts fan a lot longer than they've been in Indianapolis. So there's occasion I wear the Johnny Unitas brand. But they did come to Indianapolis, and consequently, I wore the Peyton Manning brand. Now, I will also tell you, I will never buy another number jersey. I have Johnny Unitas, and I have Peyton Manning, and I don't need anyone else. Those are the brands I like to support. Now, you might also realize that we have another team, and that happens to be the Indiana Pacers. And I oftentimes like to wear this brand. Now, you know the reason I wear this one, the number 7, yeah. God's perfect number. The fact that I was born 7-7-37 has nothing to do with it. But that's a brand I like to wear. And then you know I spent 20 years as a student at Butler University, so I would be foolish not to tell you I wear this brand on occasion as well. But then also I have a grandson who attends Indiana University, and so there's occasion that I must wear this brand as well. But this is the brand I'm most proud of. This is the brand of Jesus Christ. This is a brand that says, I'm under construction. God is not finished with me yet. This is the brand that took us to Jamaica. This is the brand that we wear and wore and proudly so. And this is the brand that probably 50 to more Jamaicans are now wearing because we were there and the gift of your family. The brand of Jesus Christ. Now, some people wouldn't quite understand why that meant so much when Paul said, I bear the body on my body the brand mark of Jesus. Remember what his brand mark was. He was beaten 3 times, 39 stripes. He was beaten with sticks. He was stoned and left for dead. The brand marks on Paul's body were physical, but they were there. And everyone understood what the brand marks of Christ were on his body. And so it is as we look at our brand and we think about what brand are we carrying. Every time we carry the brand of Christ, we're making a difference in somebody's life. You've all heard my story. Most of you have heard my story. About how I had a friend, a good friend, who continually asked me to go to church with him, and I denied and refused over and over and over again. I've told you many times about how I finally caved in and went, and from the moment I walked into that 2-car concrete block garage, I knew that's where I was supposed to be. If Margaret and I have served you in any way over the last 29 years, you owe Floyd Russell. Because that is the man who brought me to Christ. That is the man who would not give up. Over a 3-year period of time trying to get me to go understand, accept the Lord. Never gave up. The Apostle Paul is now dealing with a congregation in Galatia that is being overrun with false teachers, watered down religion. And as he's facing that, he writes this very important letter, and this last paragraph is monumental. The last paragraph is an important conclusion to the entire letter. Verse 11 says, see with what large letters I use as I write with my own hand. Paul dictated all of his letters. Why would he suddenly take up the pen and write his own conclusion? And he says, see with what large letters I write. I happen to believe that's because his eyesight was very poor. But it also could be a matter of importance. When I really write on a computer and I want something to really stand out, I'll usually go bold and bigger. And that means stop and listen or look at what I'm saying. That's what Paul was doing. Paul was saying, this is important for you to understand. So important that I'm not going to dictate it. I'm going to write it with my own hand. The last paragraph is an important warning. The church was being overrun with false teachers. My conclusion is that that hasn't changed a lot in 2,000 years. The false teachers of that day were trying to water down the love of Christ. They were trying to make it a get into heaven by works. Here's what he says in verse 12 and 13. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted. Understand what was happening. These Judaizers were coming, and remember the word Judaizer? It means Christians who still held on to the Jewish law. They were Christians, but they held on to the Jewish law. The church in Jerusalem was pushing so hard to get every new Christian circumcised. In other words, they wanted them to be Christian, but they wanted them to be bound by the old law. Jesus said that he had come to complete and fulfill the law. Jesus had come to give us a new freedom, a new understanding of what it is to have a relationship with God. Now, these Judaizers were coming back and trying to tell them they had to follow the law to get into heaven. And the Apostle Paul is writing them and saying the only reason they're doing it is so they will look good to the people back in Jerusalem. The more people they had gathered, the better they puffed up their shoulders and their chest and said, see what a good man I am. Paul is condemning because they are trying to take the people back instead of moving them forward. Yeah, they only do this to avoid being persecuted themselves, he said. And then he goes on to say, basically, and this is Renahanese, they're cowards. They're cowards because they are under pressure of people doing things rather than under God's doing something. They're hypocrites, he's saying, because they want you, the new converts, to follow the law, and they don't even follow the law themselves. They just want to look good in the eyes of the chief back in Jerusalem. The last paragraph is an important priority. It's an important priority for all of us. It certainly was written to the church at Galatia, but it could have been written to the church at Cynthia and just as easily. Verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a story about a young construction worker, very strong. And he would boast over and over again about how strong he was, how he could outwork anybody in the company. And he particularly picked on an old man that was in the company. And finally, the old man had had enough of it. And he said, put your money where your mouth is. I bet you I can wheel something over in this wheelbarrow to the shed that you can't wheel back. And the young buck looked at him and said, I'm stronger than you, I'm better than you, I can haul anything you can haul. And the old man said, okay, get in the wheelbarrow. Have we ever opened our mouth and inserted our foot because we were boasting in something that we did? I guess I was boasting this morning. I don't know how many of you read the last month's newsletter, but I walked up to Tracy Trueblood and I said, Tracy, I was nominated for the Teacher of the Year. Later, I was nominated for the Principal of the Year. Sometime later on this, well, the platform was back there then, but I received the Sagamore the Wabash. And I said, Tracy, I have never received any accolade that impressed me as much as your poem. That was the greatest moment of that kind of thing in my life. May I never boast in anything except Jesus Christ. Paul wanted to make it very clear. It wasn't keeping the law that brought you close to God. It was accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior and becoming a new creature in Christ that brought you close to God. And so all of the outwardness, the circumcision, or all of the outward sacrifices or anything else, he's saying, are all for nothing. Because it's not, God doesn't want your exterior. He wants your interior. God doesn't want you to be a beautiful present. He wants you to be a good package. Hope that makes sense. You know, if any of us have ever been in Christmas exchanges, and sometimes there are fabulous packages and goofy gifts inside. My friend Ron was magnificent at having pretty packages because Joanne always wrapped them for him. And the present inside was not near as good as the package sometimes. God wants the present, not the package. He wants your heart, not your exterior. He wants you, not what you can do or be or say. And the last paragraph is really important. For he says, peace and mercy to all who follow this rule. In this particular case, he exchanges the gospel for the word rule. But he's just simply saying, may peace and mercy be to all of you who follow the gospel. You know, remember those words? Let no one cause me trouble, for I bear the marks on my body, the stripes, the pain he endured. Most of us have been persecuted in some minor way for Christ. Somebody laughed at us or made a joke about, you know, or whatever. But I don't remember any of us being beaten for Christ. I don't remember any of us going hungry for Christ. You know, there were times when Margaret was very concerned about me going to Jamaica by myself. I would be the only white person within 30, 40, 50 miles. And it concerned her. And I tried to explain to her, I had met two young men the first time I went there. Their name was Delroy and Kevin, two brothers. And I never worried because I knew those men would lay down their life to protect me. And I tried to assure her, don't worry about it because I will be safe. Kevin and Delroy will take care of me. Physically. God will take care of me spiritually. And so it's that combination of understanding. That's why it is so important that we come together. That's why we could all study the Bible and you could listen to anybody on TV who's better than your preacher. But you come together. And why? Because you know there is strength in number. You know it's important that you gather together because he encouraged us on the first day of the week to come together. Not only to partake of the Lord's Supper, but to strengthen each other by your presence. That's why on a beautiful day like this, you're in here listening to me. It's a sacrifice you're willing to make for Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. That's how he ended it. Brothers. He's saying, even though there are people who are watering down the gospel of Christ, even though there are people who are trying to get you to become exterior worshipers instead of interior worshipers, even though those problems exist, he still ends his letter with brothers. We are still brothers, even when we disagree, even when we have pain or problems in our lives. We are brothers. And it's hard sometimes to understand. You see, the false teachers tried to emphasize getting to heaven by the circumcision and by the sacrificial and by following the old law. I read a story one time about a man who had been very faithful in the church. He died and went to heaven. As he was entering the gates of heaven, he saw a sign. And the sign said, entrance exam, 1,000 points. Now that was kind of scary. According to the story, St. Peter met him at the gate and he said, are you ready to take the entrance exam? He said, well, yes, I am. And he said, fine. He said, tell me about your relationship with Christ. He said, well, I was baptized 34 years ago. 14 years in a row, I never missed Sunday school. I taught Sunday school for 12 years. And St. Peter said, that's good, worth 5 points. Guy goes on. I tithed. I was on the finance committee. I helped the women set up for every dinner. And St. Peter said, that's good, 5 more points. The guy's beginning to sweat. He said, my car was always available. I ran errands for the pastor. I took kids to church camp. I was always there for them, anything they needed. And St. Peter said, that's wonderful. 5 more points. And the guy in frustration said, your exam is impossible. There's no way anyone could get into heaven beside the grace of God. And St. Peter said, you're right. That's 985 points. Welcome to heaven. Not by what you do, what you say. Those things are important. But we'll all see Jesus when we understand it's going to be by the grace of God. The invitation is very simple. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, we offer you that invitation right here, right now. Or if you're in the body of Christ and would like to be in fellowship with this congregation, this too is your personal invitation. We're going to turn to number 546. And I'm going to direct you to the words, dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. I don't know about the rest of you, but that's pretty much the way I start almost every prayer. And then he goes on to say, take from our souls the strain and stress. That's in verse 2. How many of you would like for him just to lift all the strain and stress from your life? I invite you to stand if you're able. Number 5.